Tzvachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Gimel 11:3, and the Mishnah is continuing to describe when blood of a chatas that splashes onto fabric must be laundered out. Now the pasuk said, "Asher yize aleha tichabes." If it should sort of spatter onto it, it needs to be laundered, says the pasuk. Now the word yize is like the same word as like hazaya, used for sort of like when you sprinkle, you know, like the sprinkling of the blood on the mizbeach, or you could simply, you know, hazaya would be, say, for example, sprinkling of the mechatas, that paraduma water, on someone who is trying to become tahor and so on. The point is, the word yizeh is a kind of strange choice of words. It could have used something more like yipol, to fall on, like you use elsewhere in the Torah. Or there are other possibilities as well. The point is that the fact that it uses the same word that's for sprinkling on the mizbeach is understood by Chazal to mean that we're talking about only blood that could have, would have, should have been sprinkled on the mizbeach, but it wasn't. That's in addition to the drashas we had from yesterday, or the previous Mishnah. And therefore, the Mishnah says, "Nitas min atzavar al habeged." If the blood spatters directly from the neck of the chatas onto the clothing, without being received by a kli sharis first, since that blood is not eligible to be put on the mizbeach, so then it doesn't need to be laundered out. The chiddush here is, you might have thought that since until the instant before the blood went on the beged, it indeed could have been put on the mizbeach because it could have been caught by a kli, so therefore, like, it never had a moment of psul, so to speak, that it wasn't valid, but wrong. So therefore, eino taon kibus, that doesn't require laundering. And similarly, min ha-keren, umin ha-yesod, eino taon kibus. If the blood gets on the, let's say, the clothing of the kohen, after it's been applied to the keren, the corner. Remember that the chatas blood is applied to the four corners of the mizbeach. So once it's been applied to the corner of the mizbeach, literally the horn of the mizbeach, so then it's done its thing, right? It's no longer eligible for reuse, if you will. Therefore, it doesn't need to be laundered if it gets on the kohen's clothing. When it says min ha-yesod, this would mean even prior to it getting on the yesod. Of course, once it's been poured onto the yesod, it's also like totally done. But the essential obligation is to, the primary obligation, I should call it, is to put the blood of the chatas on the karanos, the corners of the mizbeach, and then what's left over gets poured on the yesod. The point is, if, while there's still some obligation to put it on the yesod or down the yesod, if it gets on the clothing first, since it's no longer blood that's needed to effect the kapara for the hazaya, so therefore it doesn't need laundering either. Eino taon kibus, says the Mishnah. And now the Mishnah will essentially give the basic principle, summing it up here. It says, if Nishpach ala ritzva ba'asafo, if it spilled straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor, and then you gather it up from the floor and put it back into the kli, then eino taon kibus, that certainly doesn't need kibus, that's old news, because you've said that's not eligible. But the point is that the principle that's guiding this whole topic is eino taon kibus ela hadam shniskabel bekli. It has to be blood that goes directly from the neck into the consecrated vessel, v'roi lahazaya, and therefore it's fitting for hazaya, for application to the mizbeach. Now, like, new paragraph, if you will, we're going to talk about what things need kibbutz if the blood falls on them. That we up to now have been talking about just which kind of blood needs kibbutz, but now what kind of things need kibbutz if it falls. So the pasuk we talked about, it refers to a beged. Now, beged in Chazal, really, which means like a garment, let's say, is kind of almost like a code word for a thing that's makabel tuma. And the only question is, does it need something which is actually currently susceptible to tumah, or something which is potentially susceptible to tumah? And the difference would be that if you're talking about, let's say, an animal hide, so an ore, animal hide, so that is potentially susceptible to tumah if a person decides he wants to leave it as is and use it as like a mat on the floor, or like to cover his, you know, cover his car outside or something. He's not planning on doing any further work to it. That piece of leather then is makabel tuma now. However, if that very same animal hide, a person has other plans for it, he plans to work it and turn it into a pair of shoes, so then in its current state, it's not makabel tuma because, although it's potentially susceptible to tuma, a kli is only a utensil only susceptible to tuma if it needs no further major work through that function. So in general, we have, you know, four categories of recipients of tumah: people, kalim, food, and drink. And this certainly is only a utensil, a kli, it's not an animal, it's not a person, it's not food or drink, and therefore it needs to be fulfilling the requirements of a kli, which means no more work done. So the question of our Mishnah is going to be, what happens if you haven't yet decided in your head, the kohen, let's say, who owns his hide, hasn't decided yet whether he's going to leave it as is and use it as it now stands, no further work required, therefore it's currently susceptible to tumah, or if he hasn't decided yet, in which case it's only potentially susceptible to tumah if he would later change his mind. Or I should say, this later he resolves his mind to use it as is. So that's the machlokas tanaim over here. Mishnah says inside, nitas al ha'or, if it's the blood splatters from the klisharis onto an animal hide. Ad shlo hufshat, if the hide is still on the animal, meaning it hasn't yet been flayed off the animal, so even though we're talking a living animal, which certainly is not makabel tumah, or even a carcass afterwards, it's not a kli. And therefore, eino ta'un kibos, it doesn't need to be laundered out, even if later on it turned into a utensil, it doesn't need to. But mishahufshat, but once it's been flayed, now you have an animal hide, ta'un kibos, if blood from a chatas gets on the animal hide, it needs to be laundered out, meaning not just rinsed off or scraped off, but actually like laundered off using the specific ingredients that do laundering. That's divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda shita is, if it's ra'ui lekabel tuma, if it's potentially tuma susceptible, even though it's not actually now tuma susceptible because the kohen who owns it, this hide, let's say, hasn't yet decided if he's using it as is or not, but since he could decide that, and therefore as it is potentially a state where it could be mekabel tuma, therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's included in the Torah's obligation, like a beged, that it must be laundered. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af mishahufshat eno ta'un kibus, even after it's been flayed, it still doesn't require laundering if blood from achatas, from the klisharis, gets onto this animal hide, because while it is potentially makabel tumah, roi lekabel tumah, since the person hasn't decided, and that's the case, your person hasn't decided that it will leave it as is, therefore it's not currently susceptible to tumah. Okay, so that's a machlokas. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that even roi lekabel tumah is enough, and in fact the next line of the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda as a stam Mishnah, so that's the Mishnah itself is sort of going in that direction. It says, Eino ta'un kibus ele makom hadam. Now the place that the blood splashes needs to be laundered, but it's like a spot cleaning that's required, not the whole garment, just that very spot. That's actually learned from the pasuk, which is rather repetitive. The pasuk doesn't just say you have to launder it. It says, "Vasher yize midama al habeged," if blood splatters onto the garment, "Asher yize aleha tichabes," the on that which the blood fell needs to be laundered, meaning only the place where it fell and not other places of the beged. Further says the Mishnah, "V'davar shu roi lekabel tumah." We're talking about things that are potentially susceptible to tumah. See, the word "roi" here is going like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning even an animal hide that hasn't been decided yet. "V'roi lekibus." It also has to be the kind of utensil that is applicable for laundering. Kibus, like laundering in English, means you know, like kind of you're extracting something you don't want from within the fabric or fibers of the material. It's not like just a surface scratch. In other words, you can't launder a piece of glass or a piece of metal, right? Because the blood, if you're going into glass or metal, wouldn't penetrate in. It just needs to be scraped off. And therefore, we're saying the requirements for kibus is only things that can absorb, like a garment made of fabric or like a leather hide. The Rambam paskens, the halacha is that, although that's everything is true, we said, if the blood from a chatas that's eligible, that we need kibbutz if it fell into a garment, would fall into something like a metal utensil or something, it would need to be scraped off. Because you see, the principle of the Mishnah, of the Chumash, is that the blood from a chatas should be removed. But kibbutz, meaning the technical laundering with the using the specific ingredients that do laundering, etc., is not required if you're talking about a splash on something which doesn't absorb into its fabric.